Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show, the place where we dissect social media strategies entrepreneurs are using to build their brand, go viral, and make a massive impact. Let's dive on in.
Welcome to this episode of The Rachel Peterson Show. I am really, really excited about today's episode because we are having none other than the Nathan Chan of Founder Magazine, publisher and editor of this incredible digital publication, on the show. And a little bit about Nathan Chan, if you aren't already familiar. Now, Nathan was one of my first introductions to how powerful Instagram can be as a social media platform. He has grown Founder's social media following to nearly 1 million followers in just a few short years. Now, how he's done so has been a combination of strategy, of quality content, but all of that barely even brushes the surface of the levels of dedication he has had to Founder Magazine. He has had incredible entrepreneurs that have grace the cover of Founder Magazine, including Daymond John, Gary Vaynerchuk, Tony Robbins, Richard Branson, Natalie McNeil, and so many other incredible inspirations. I couldn't even begin to list them all. Well, without further ado, you guys, we're just going to dive right on in because Nathan has some incredible advice, and he talks to us a little bit about the journey, what it's looked like, and how using social media helped him to really catapult his brand to the next level. So without any other delay, let's just dive right on in. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Rachel, how are you doing?
I am doing so well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Sorry I was a little late. I just woke up.
You just got what was that? A cup?
I just woke up.
Oh, oh my gosh. What time is it in Australia?
It's it's not too early. It's 8 a.m., but I was up late working. So, yeah, it's all good.
I can't imagine that you're up late working. Has it been pretty busy for you?
Yeah, it's been super hectic. Just because I just really want to really, really, you know, crush it with the campaign, and it's all public. So just, yeah, working my ass off, to be honest.
Oh, I know the feeling. You know, I actually have one story that I still have never told anyone, and I launched a completely failed crowdfunding campaign earlier this year. I had this idea. I thought it was going to go absolutely viral. I was convinced it was going to be the next big thing, and it failed publicly. We had tons of press surrounding it, and then the press was like inaccurately reporting that we raised $30,000. It was awful. So,
oh no!
But you have not had that misfortune. Things have been going well.
Yeah, can't complain, but still got to keep pushing.
Yep, absolutely. So you're from Melbourne, right?
Yep.
My sister-in-law is actually from Brisbane, Queensland area. Does that sound right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and you know, she would kill me if I didn't say this. She always says, if you ever talk to Aussies, you have to say this and see what they say in response. And so she said, you have to tell them, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Do you know the second?
Yeah.
Yes, she said they all know it. It's like our national anthem. So perfect.
That's funny.
Yes, definitely. So I'm super excited to have you on my podcast, Nathan, because you were one of the first people that actually turned me on to Instagram. And
that's, oh, awesome.
It's so cool because when I first started this whole online marketing entrepreneur adventure, it's just over a year ago now. And I remember thinking, how can I get more followers on Instagram? I want more followers so badly. And I had like 200 followers. And I thought that was a pretty big deal because I'm just, you know, a mom from Minnesota. Nothing is that glamorous in my life. And I found Founder Magazine and I went through all your emails and I took action. And now today my following is 16,000 people, which is pretty good.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome.
And it's still just my life. It's nothing exciting. It's not super branded. So everything that I learned from you was so inspiring. And it literally, it launched my Instagram following within the first week when I started to use it. So I'm I'm thrilled to be talking to you. But I also wanted to say that your big project that you have going on right now, it is so exciting. this book that you're putting together, what inspired this idea for you to put together Lessons from the Greatest Entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So we've been running Founder for about 3.5 years now, and we've been lucky enough to, you know, speak to a lot of super successful entrepreneurs, some of the greatest of our generation right now. And we've got thousands of hours worth of content. And I think, you know, it's just like any good artist, they do a greatest hits album. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what the book is. We've had a lot of people over the past 3.5 years ask if we do a printed magazine. And, you know, we've never done any print projects. And we wanted to compile our best stuff and, you know, really showcase it and distill it into really actionable information, because, you know, we're not going to expect people to trawl through the thousands of hours worth of content that we have. And then, yeah, the book just kind of came about from that. It was just like, okay, we've got all this content. Let's round it all together and turn it into maybe an ebook. And then we're just like, oh, you know, what if this was a physical book? What would that look like? And then we're like, oh, okay, well, maybe we crowdfund and see if it's anything people care about. And then, yeah, here we are today. So it was kind of really just an experiment. If it didn't work, we'd just do an ebook and put it on Amazon. But yeah, luckily enough, you know, it's something that people care enough about that we've already fully funded the project in about 3.5 days. So
and still
that's how it all came about.
Yeah, and there's still 23 days to go, which says that there's a lot more that can happen and probably will. I'm excited to see it go really big. I'm excited for you. Now, I want to talk more about the book, but I first and foremost, something that I have wondered whenever I hear you speak on podcast interviews or when I see these big visions that you put together, you know, obviously that stems from something. Are you by nature a dreamer, or is that something that has been developed over the years?
Definitely been developed over the years. So before I started Founder, I really never achieved much, to be honest, Rachel. Like, I never really got good grades at school, never really achieved much. I never really had much ambition. But once I found that thing that just makes me so excited and, you know, it's an obsession that I'm reasonably good at, it's just kind of really allowed me to drive really, really hard and dream really, really big. But even when I started the magazine, you know, like, you know, we had a successful person. Like, we didn't even have a successful person on the front cover of the issue, like issue number one. We had a stock image. Like, I didn't even know what I was doing. I just worked it out along the way. And as time has gone on, I've kind of dreamt bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think you know, it's all about, more than anything now, like how Grant Cardone says about the 10X rule.
Yes.
Like, really, really, like, you know, dreaming so, so big and aiming so, so high, and you might not hit the goal that you're looking for straight away. Like, you know, you might not hit that 10X goal, but you're going to get maybe 5X or 6X.
Yes.
Because you're dreaming so big and because you're pushing so hard. And that's actually also one of the reasons I always like to go to the States at least once a year, because what it allows me to do is really connect and hang out with you guys that dream so big, you know. I think that's something that's very special about how you guys think.
Interesting. Would you say that that's not something that necessarily is natural for Australians? Is that because in the United States and in Canada, there's definitely like an obsession with being an entrepreneur. It's everywhere. Everyone's talking about starting their own thing, trying something new. Everyone has a dream. You know, small businesses prevail. That's very, very prominent in the United States. Is that not as common in Australia?
Hard to say, because I'm really deep within it right now.
Yes.
But Yeah, I would say that there's something there with the American dream where people just want to work really, really hard and to get ahead. And, like, you know, you go to New York City, it's like hustle city, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that doesn't exist in Australia. People are a little bit more relaxed and, yeah, definitely probably entrepreneurship isn't as big. It is there and it is big in certain areas, but for the most part, no, it's not the same. It's definitely not the same.
Interesting. So when you first started this idea of Founder Magazine, and if I recall correctly, it wasn't originally called Founder. Is that correct?
Correct.
What was it initially going to be called, or what was the premise of the magazine?
So I had a few different iterations, actually. the first iteration was I wanted to do a horse racing magazine and do it with my housemate that I lived with at the time. And that didn't end up working out. And then but we never launched. And then I called the magazine something else. I can't say because I was actually sued for trademark infringement.
Oh.
But
it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens, and it was a hard learning lesson first 4 months in of running your first ever business. But, yeah, so I was sued for trademark infringement by one of the biggest business magazines in the state. So, yeah, I had to change the name in the early days, and that's why it was called Founder. That's why we have no E. There isn't actually even a brand with the correct spelling, but, yeah, we wanted to make sure that we never had that problem again, so we took out the E.
That's so smart. So when you first had the idea of Founder, and you admitted that you weren't necessarily a dreamer, but you had some type of vision in place, and you're posting to Instagram and you're starting to build your following, what is it that you imagined everything coming together as?
So just to be really, really clear, Rachel, we've been around for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. That's when I started the magazine, and we've only been on Instagram for 2 years.
Oh.
So I only got on Instagram when I left my day job, which was about 2.5 years ago.
That's interesting. So
yeah.
What was your first mode of communicating the idea of the magazine? Was there a different social media platform that you were repping it on, or what was your first version of online marketing for Founder?
So we actually really didn't focus on social media at all. So launched a magazine 3.5 years ago and only been on Instagram for the past 2 years, left my day job about 2.5 years ago. And what happened was when I first launched, we had no presence on social media. No, like, you know, blog, no fancy website, nothing at all. And all I focused on 100% was because I launched the magazine while I was working my day job, like as a side hustle project. So all I was focused on, all I was focused on was just making sure I could ship the magazine every single month and just create an awesome product. So we didn't focus on social up until I left my day job.
Wow.
And the best customer acquisition channel around the magazine was two things. The first thing was we got an interview with Richard Branson, and that was for issue number 8. So that happened pretty early on, and I made that issue free, and I used that as a really great foray to get people to find out about the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I also understood and worked out App Store optimization, which is kind of like SEO for the App Store.
Right.
So like what's SEO for Google, it's SEO for the App Store. And I worked out how to make sure that if someone searched for Entrepreneur Magazine, Fast Company, Forbes, or Startup or Founder or any of these keywords that somebody might be interested in business or entrepreneurship, this is like, you know, how I'm going to get the magazine to come up. And that really, really helped hold us in good stead for a very, very long time, still to this day, actually.
Wow. And that momentum continues as there's now quite a bit of brand awareness, wouldn't you say? It's more like a ball rolling downhill.
Yeah, you could say that. Like, we're getting some good momentum these days with the brand, but we're kind of only really scratching the surface. Like, you know, most people don't know about Founder. There's this very, very small, minute amount of people that do, which is amazing. But, yeah, we've got so much more work to do. So, yeah, it was only about 2 years ago. So I left my day job and then just kind of was working things out. And part of that working things out, it took me about 6 months to get a hold on what I was doing and you know, how to operate when you don't have a 9-to-5 and how to set, you know, serious goals and get stuff done, because I was used to just hustling, you know, between 9 p.m. and about 1 a.m. That was kind of my working schedule with the magazine, because I couldn't do anything else during my day job, and that's what I was super focused on. So, yeah, it took me a while to get into the swing of things, but once I did, we started to really get some really good traction. Because so it was November 2014 I launched the podcast. It was November 2014 I launched our Instagram page. And it was just before that I also redid the blog. So it allowed us to just have a really great website that people could go to. So yeah, that was it's been a good couple of years since I left my day job that we've got some really good traction.
I like what you said though, where you said there is a small minority that know about Founder. And what that sounds like to me is, have you read Grant Cardone's Be Obsessed or Be Average?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no,
my gosh. It is an incredible book. And he keeps talking about how his goal is for 7 billion people to know his name and his brand. And so whenever someone says, you're doing good enough, you've got 2 million followers on Twitter, what more could you want? He says, 2 million? No, I want 7 billion. So that's his goal that he keeps going towards. And I think that that's a great way to think about it. There's always room to grow and for more people to be aware. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, there's people that don't even still know, Forbes or Fast Company or Inc. or Entrepreneur Magazine. There was actually literally someone that I was just telling, like, you know, a friend that's like a really, really super savvy entrepreneur. He didn't know of Entrepreneur Magazine, which was crazy. Wow. So, you know, there's even these big household name brands, there's still room to move. So, yeah, we're just kind of just scratching the surface, just, you know, making some good traction around, you know, the indies or the independents or the, you know, early stage adopters.
Yes.
Fast movers, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what trait of yours has been the most beneficial throughout this whole process? Because it sounds like you underwent a pretty significant personal journey to becoming an entrepreneur. What trait of yours has been kind of the cornerstone of your success in your career?
I think just a relentless curiosity for what it takes. I ask a lot of questions. I catch up with a lot of people. I try and learn as much as I can and I push really hard. So, yeah, look, I work pretty hard and I hustle pretty hard, but at the same time, you know, I definitely am a student and I totally understand that. And I've got a lot to learn still and just constantly trying to find out what it takes, whether it's, you know, crushing Facebook ads, whether it's crushing it with Instagram, whether it's doing well on content. I'm always trying to find as many people as I can to really, really just learn from and share knowledge. And I think with this, you know, really, really big, great, you know, quite a heavy hunger and fire inside of me to find out what's working, to find out what it takes, that's really driving me to really grow the brand.
Yep, absolutely. I like that, the relentless curiosity. And it sounds like you're always pushing to learn more. Is part of that because you realize that there's always potential? Well, there always is potential to learn more, but there always is a better way, a more efficient way to do things, a more innovative way?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, when you rest on your laurels as a company, that's that's when you start to, you know, slowly stop, you know, growing. So for us at Founder, like, we can't just rest on our laurels. Like, you know, we can't just, you know, really crush it on Instagram and that's our only channel. We have to work towards conquering them all. You know, it's just, yeah, you just got to keep moving. I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely. Are you afraid of anything?
Of course. Yeah. afraid of heaps of things. You know, one of my goals, I was just writing it down for next year, is to set up an office in LA, because I think, you know, like, I think video content and, you know, creating content at scale is where it's at, especially from video side of things and creating courses at scale. So I'll need to set up an office in LA, and, you know, that's something that scares me. You know, there's going to be a lot of implications. I'm going to have to hire a couple of, at least, you know, two or three people. You know, we're going to have to make sure that the business is turning over a certain amount of money to be able to do that, because we've got already seven staff here. So, yeah, look, that's something that scares me. Something else that scares me is, you know, I know that 30% of people in our audience haven't even started a business at Founder. Like, we did a massive survey, and you know, to our list of about, who are now, you know, 250,000, and within 24 hours, you know, we had over 3,000 people fill out this survey. So, you know, from that sample size of 3,000 people, 30% hadn't even started a business yet. So, you know, that's something that we really need to tackle. So I'm scared about the fact that we're going to have to, because I don't want to teach the course. I don't want to teach how to start an online business. I think that's because I'm really, really obsessed with building a scalable asset, and I'm not the brand. So yes, I can be the face of the brands in the sense that I'm leading it, like how Richard Branson leads Virgin or how Steve Jobs led Apple. But I don't want to be the product. So right. Yes, I am with the Instagram course, but that won't be around forever. And, you know, yes, I am for the podcast, but that's only a small piece of what we do. And in fact, when I set up that office in LA, one of those people that I hire will be a journalist, and they will do, like, a hotshot journalist that's been doing interviews for a long time. They will do the interviews going forward. So, you know, I won't do the interviews anymore. And, you know, something that scares me is, you know, something like that, you know, handing over the interviews to someone else, or what if they leave? What happens then, you know?
Right.
You know, and then also setting up and creating this How to Start an Online Business course, getting other people to teach, you know, what's that going to look like? Do we have to do a profit share? Do we have to do a JV? How are we going to convince all these different people that are real experts, you know? So, yeah, for sure, there are things that make me afraid, but, you know, I just set goals and I'll just keep pushing.
So you mentioned that 30% of your audience, at least the surveyed audience, hasn't even yet started a business. And I think that there are a lot of people who are consuming content who maybe think in general that the space is filled, that there isn't room for them. I know I hear this all the time with, for example, I lead a community of students and social media managers, and they say, I can't really build the social media following that I want because I think the market is too saturated for anyone to become a new influencer. What do you think about that line of thought?
Yeah, you know, I think that's definitely a limiting belief, because what we've done with Founder, you know, there was plenty before we started, there was still plenty of entrepreneurial brands out there. You just have to really work out you just have to really work out how you can create a strong differentiator. Like, there's a brand that's starting to pop up quite a bit, and I've met the founders recently. It's an entrepreneurial brand called Influensive. And you know, they got a great blog, and they're really rocking it, and they're doing a really great job around their content. And you know, they're doing something that is not new, but they're doing a really, really good job to, you know, drum up press in the sense that a lot of people are talking about them, a lot of people reading their content, and their message is getting spread far and wide. So, you know, I think whatever niche or market or industry it is that you serve, there's always room for new entrants, new people to enter, or new brands to enter, what it comes down to is you have to work out how you can differentiate yourself in the marketplace. Mm. So for us, you know, when I first started, I started a grassroots brand that the face of it was a magazine. So yes, there are, you know, big pubs and like, you know, Forbes, Fast Company, Entrepreneur. I had a little bit of a spin on it because I wanted to target, you know, aspiring novice stage, early stage startup founders and young people. But then also, you know, it's a grassroots brand where I'm the face of it, and you know, we're a bootstrap startup, and this is something that doesn't, you know, there wasn't really out there. You know, there wasn't really people known just for starting an entrepreneurial magazine in this kind of online space that me and you both know of, mm-hmm. whether it's for the podcasting world or whether it's for the online world or whether it's for the internet marketing world. There wasn't really anyone doing it, right? So I was able to come and come out and do that, but not only just launch a magazine, but work out how to speak to the same people that, you know, I guess maybe a Pat Flynn or Ramit Sethi or any of these other entrepreneurial brands speak to, you know, even the entrepreneurs and entrepreneur magazines, the Fast Company and Forbes, but in a different way and really stand out from getting interviews and showcasing the Richard Bransons or the Arianna Huffingtons or the Tony Robbins on the front covers of our magazine. And that was kind of our strong differentiator. And then, you know, as time went on, you know, now we're much more than just a magazine. You know, we're a fully fledged media company, but also a hybrid between an education startup as well, because we're trying to create courses at scale. We haven't started yet, but we want to create a lot more courses and a lot more assets and strings to our bow. And so can you start to see how the brand and the vision is evolving? But now we're kind of carving out our own kind of niche, and along the way we've built up a lot of trust and provide a lot of value in the marketplace to be able to build an audience and start to become a bit of an authority in our space.
Absolutely. And it all started with just getting started. You didn't worry about the fact that it was crowded. You went for it.
Yeah, I didn't even think, you know, Rachel, I didn't even think, oh, you know, then this is a crowded space. There's too many people doing that. You just got to not worry about those kinds of things, because if you do, that's what's going to trip you up. That's what's going to stop you from launching. That's what's going to stop you from, I guess, you know, getting to the places that you want to go to. I think, yeah, for example, me and my girlfriend were working on a physical product, and it's just going to be a new brand in the health and wellness space, and it's just going to be a bottle where you can put water in. So it's just going to be a drink bottle. And it's really cool. There's other bottles out there that are similar to it. But, mm-hmm. you know, we know that it's a space that we think we can do a really, really good job utilizing Instagram and really good branding. And, you know, we're just going to go for it. And that's what you really need to remember that, let's say you do go for it. It does take time. You have to be patient. It's not going to happen straight away. And what's the worst that can happen? You know, there's only one of you, and there's so many people that need help.
Right.
So whether it's, you know, whether it's about starting a business, whether it's, you know, there's so many problems out there to be solved. And if someone's, you know, if someone's still solving it, that's fine too. You know, like Elon Musk, there's many other people doing electric cars now. BMW, they're doing an electric car. You know, all you know, even Ferrari and Porsche, they're all doing electric cars. Everyone's doing electric cars now. So, you know, he's not worried about it, right?
Right. You just have to keep innovating. Others will too, and that's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, something that I think I heard it in an interview, and you were talking about when you reached out to Richard Branson and how you had only been in business for 4 months and it was a long shot, but yet you reached out to him, and after quite a bit of time and pursuing him and his team, trying to get in touch with him, he finally agreed to being, was it on the cover of Founder at that time?
Yeah. So for issue number 8.
Oh, that's amazing. Was that the first moment where you realized, I think I'm really onto something? Or did you have another moment that felt like everything was going to potentially go somewhere big?
Yeah, no, this was our big break. When I did that, I really did feel that I could do something big. Now, please keep in mind that when I launched the magazine, the first day that I launched, we made $5. The first month, we made $80. The second month, we made a couple hundred dollars. So I could see the recurring revenue really growing. But, so I thought that, you know, if I kept building this up, I could build something special. I did think that. But, you know, I didn't know that I could take it as far as I've taken it right now. And I had no idea that this is where I was going to take it. But yeah, that was a pretty big break for us. That was a big turning point. I think every business has, I guess, big breaks that really take things to the next level. And, I see this book that we've created as a big break to take things to the next level. And I think, getting Richard Branson on the front cover was definitely one of our first big breaks.
That must have been just an amazing feeling. I can imagine like the happy dance that ensued after you got that news.
Definitely big happy dance. It was awesome.
Were there any? Go ahead.
Sorry.
You're good.
Okay. I was going to say, and that's the thing, right? Like, I remember, I'll actually never forget, when I was first starting out, I asked one of my mentors, I was like, I really, really want this big win. It feels like, I can just never get this big win. Do these exist? And he's like, yeah, for sure. He's like, and this is, one of my mentors, and he runs a company called Intrepid Travel. That was the company that I worked at before I left, a $300 million company that they've been running for about 25 years. And he's like, yeah, of course it exists. There's definitely big wins. He's like, I remember one time in the early days for me when I was trying to get the product out there. So it's a travel product. He got one of the biggest travel agencies in Australia to stock their brochures for all their tours. And he said, as soon as they did that, the business just exploded overnight. And that was a massive win. And, still to this day, their brochures are in this particular travel agency. So, yeah, look, you definitely can get big wins that if you feel you're not getting them. And, you just got to keep building that momentum.
Absolutely. That brings me to my next question. How do you keep the momentum going?
That's a tricky one. So I think, for Founder, in terms of a timeline, we've had some big turning points with the magazine and then, some big wins with people we've had on the front cover. And then, we had a good turning point with the Instagram, and that was a really good piece. And then also the podcast. And then we launched that Instagram course, which is doing quite well. And then we scaled up the team, and then now I think a big turning point for us will be actually this book. Now, how do you keep getting that momentum? For us, I think it's like every time that Founder does something as a brand that not everyone else is doing, and it's something a little different that people can wrap a story around it, that's when we take the brand to the next level and keep building that momentum. So to be honest with you, Rachel, we did a really big launch for our Instagram course in February. That did very, very well in terms of impact, results, monetary return. That did really, really well. And then, I really started to scale up the team and hired like three or four more people. And what happened was I'd never managed people before. I've never tried to scale a company. And The business has been growing since February, don't get me wrong, but it's not like it's not growing as fast as it was. And I really was starting to feel that we were starting to lose momentum. Right. And that's why this project in particular with the book, it's been such, you know, a breath of fresh air, because we haven't been winning. Right. We haven't been building the momentum. So I actually looked back in my journal, and I started to work out that I think every time we've done something a little different, the brand is taken into new spaces. Like, you know, we've never done a coffee table business book, and no one's done that kind of thing. It's physical, you know. Every time we've done something a little different, it's what's really allowed the brand to add another string to our bow and really build a story around that people can follow and be interested in and you know, really create something that's going to really change the game for so many people. So, you know, nobody at the time before this, you know, before this big break with the book, and I think it will do well, before that, you know, no one was really using Instagram as a way to generate traffic or leads or sales, especially right. in the entrepreneurship space. But that was something that I identified, and that was, you know, a way that we've really been able to rapidly grow the brand. And then, you know, nobody was doing a magazine, or nobody was, you know, trying to get all these, you know, crazy, super successful entrepreneurs and get in touch with them. So, yeah, every time we've done something a little different, it's what's allowed us to, get momentum. So that's what I would, in a long-winded way, I think every time we've, kind of try to step outside of what everyone else is doing and what others are doing in the marketplace, that's when we've been able to build momentum.
I think one other thing too, Nathan, that you maybe don't even give yourself credit for, but when you step out into a place that others aren't, you step out very well. You know, even just looking at this book is gorgeous. I mean, it is really, really attractive. I know you and I had emailed back and forth about the design just a little bit as I gave you my thoughts, and this is exactly what the type of thing I envisioned being on my coffee table. So it's come together so well.
Oh, well, thank you. Like, you know, that's a big thing for us, Rachel, is design and branding. I pay so much attention to it. Yes. It is very difficult for us to find a good designer to do certain things.
No, it shows in everything that you do. And this book, like I said, is no exception. It's absolutely, it's so attractive. And the content inside is really valuable. I'm excited for mine. I'm going to be getting it for Christmas. I got to speak more quietly because my husband's around. But I'm going to be getting it as Christmas presents. I love this book. And I'll be linking to it in the show notes for sure. So anybody who's interested in checking out this amazing book, which is called Lessons from the Greatest Entrepreneurs. And I notice it's Founder Version 1, which tells me that there are potentially more coming.
Yeah, you know, part of what inspired the idea was what HBR do, the Harvard Business Review. You know, they get some of their best content from their blog, and they repurpose it into a physical book. And if you go like to HBR now and you go to their store, they've got, you know, a lot of books. So, yeah, something to think about. Who knows? You know, there's so many different verticals we can take the brand.
Absolutely. Now, with this book, it's very obvious, I think, to most people who see it, that you wanted to inspire something or make an impact. What was the purpose in mind that you had for this book and what it would inspire?
Yeah, so I think it's a very universal book for whatever stage of, you know, your business or your journey you're at as an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur or novice stage entrepreneur. So I guess what I wanted to inspire was that, you know, it's not about us, but, you know, if you want to be able to draw from some of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation, we've put this together in this book. We've broken it down into so many different sections of wherever you're at in your journey, whether it's idea validation, whether it's hiring, whether it's firing, whether it's, you know, raising capital, whether it's or any, you know, any single, whether it's scaling a company, whether it's social media, any single piece that you're at, you know, or you're struggling with, you could always open up the book and find words of wisdom from so many super successful entrepreneurs that have, you know, disrupted industries, you know, shaped the world that we live in today. So I just wanted to create an amazing body of work that would not only just represent the brand in its best possible light in a really compiled way, but also to have a book that people can have on their coffee table or in their bookshelf that, you know, at some point in time they can draw on and they can read. It's not a coffee table book that you have for show. Yes, it can be for show because it's going to be beautifully designed, but the content in there is really, really valuable and really, really actionable that you can learn from. And I think, you know, it's going to change the lives of so many entrepreneurs. So that's why I want to get into the hands of as many people as possible.
I agree with you 100%. And I'm excited to see how many people's hands this ends up in just for round one, because that's only going to be the starting place. Well, Nathan, I've had a great time chatting with you. I appreciate you joining us today on the podcast and sharing with us about this incredible book that you've put together from Founder.
Yeah, look, thank you so much for having me, Rachel. It was a really, really, really great conversation. I had a ton of fun.
You guys, this interview has been incredible. Can you believe all that Nathan has achieved in just a few short years? It really helps me to realize that sometimes when you have a dream that is so massively big and absolutely terrifying, the best way to get started is just that, to get started. There is no market that is too crowded for you. You're not too late to the game, even if it feels like everyone else is already in the space. There's still room for new ideas and innovation. I think this has been an incredibly valuable episode. And if you agree with me, do me a huge favor. Pop on over to iTunes and leave a review. Tell me what it is that you loved about this episode or something that you learned. And I can't wait to read every single one of your reviews. And as always, the show notes are available at rachelpeterson.com/show notes. Until next week, guys.